When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back on site on a field trip Friday. It's Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly. We're here till 6:30. Come on out and hang with us. We've got some gift cards we're going to be giving away throughout the show as well for some of the folks that stop by and have happy hour and dinner with us. We're excited about that. Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morag can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com, and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Speaking of things we're giving away, Caps tickets, one final time today. We've got a pair for somebody ahead of the Beltway Blitz at 4 o'clock, so you better be listening in 1 hour from right now if you want those tickets to go see the Caps at Capital One Arena. Before we get into the NFL playoff matchups and the weekend ahead in the National Football League, I do feel like our show coverage has been a little light on the playoffs this week.
Yeah.
And maybe that's our fault. Maybe I'll raise my hand and say my bad on that. I just think there's been so much going on with the Commanders, the Cliff Kingsbury news, which we didn't see coming, and then the search thereafter, that we've kind of sunk our teeth into that. There's been some Trae Young to cover as well. So we really haven't taken the goggles, put them on, put the swim trunks on, and dove into the playoffs that deep yet. But we will do that in just a few minutes. But people want to hop in on this idea that I'm floating, which is, don't be surprised if David Blough's the OC here. I know everybody's excited about the possibility of Mike McDaniel, and you should be. I think that would be a home run. But I think people should also prepare themselves that maybe this thing settles in-house with David Blough. How would you feel about that? Elijah's in D.C. on Grant and Danny, wants to lead us off. What's up, Elijah? How are you?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, bud.
I feel like that is one of the safer options because I'm not suggesting that McDaniels is like, you know, Tom Brady, but when you have like, I just don't want it to be like a Drew Bledsoe situation where people are clamoring for McDaniels to take over as the head coach next year. So I think safety wise for everybody in the building going with Bilal, I think that helps. Also, when you're having teams that want to interview him, like Detroit isn't just going to interview anybody. So I think there is something there. I do have concerns about the play calling situation and just the newness. And is this actually the time in the year Dan Quinn wants to put in for having that process be something that's new for somebody?
So Elijah, that to me is the billion-dollar question.
Great call, buddy.
Is how much of a risk are you willing to take on if you're Quinn? I mentioned a few days ago, the last time he was in this spot, and that's what we should do a lot of the times. Figure out, what does the past tell us? He blew out his OC. He blew out his DC. He blew out his special teams coach in Atlanta. His back's against the wall. He's got to fill out a staff. What does that hiring process tell us? And he basically just choked up on the bat, spread his feet out a little bit, and he tried to get on base. He tried to just drop a ball 157 yards down the middle into the fairway. Nothing risky. We're laying up. And he went with Dirk Cutter, and it didn't work. And so do you want to possibly do something a little safer, or are you willing to roll the dice and take a big swing on a possible long-term 4 or 5 year solution in David Blough?
My counter to Elijah's counter, it's a good call, is this. Everything has a risk. In other words, if you hire a hotshot, say Mike McDaniel, or the other guy that's on his way to a head coaching gig, the risk is you lose him. If you hire a neophyte that's not ready, that's not at risk of being a head coach, you might not be around to see his blossoming come to fruition if you're Dan Quinn and you hire David Blough. Every higher, potentially, one way or the other, has plenty of downside, plenty of risk, etc. A guy without a great reputation. I mean, listen, Drew Terrell, for example, whom they interviewed from Arizona via Ron Rivera's staff as a wide receiver coach, might be the next certified genius. He might be the next incredible offensive mind that's yet remained untapped. I have no idea. I do know that his two previous stints do not inspire any confidence at all. So there's risk to that. No, there's no move that's risk-free. You know what I mean? Like, it's either it works and you're cursed with the fact that it worked and you're going to lose the guy, or it doesn't work in time and you're out too. And now we're all kind of going, well, I can't believe you hired him over fill in the blank.
Let's go to Usman in New York, listening on the Odyssey app. One of the ways you can check us out today, we're live right now on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube channel in high definition. Of course, we're live all over D.C. on The Fan. You listen to us in Richmond, AM 910, FM 105.1, and wherever you are, always free and available, the Odyssey app. What's up, Usman? How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy Friday. Real quick, I'm very against hiring David Blau for a couple of reasons. First off, I don't know if it's the best move for DQ. He's already on a short leash, and as you mentioned, you know, not that much time for him to allow David Blau to develop, especially as somebody who's going from barely a QB coach to then a play caller. The other thing is, you know, I think if Jaden has to move to a Shanahan system anyways, it's much easier to replace those guys after a one and done because of how popular that scheme is in the NFL. Whereas if you're moving on from, you know, like a David Blau or Mike McDaniel if you're moving on from like a different system, you know, it's going to be harder for him to learn a completely new offense from an air raid to a Shanahan style. The other thing is, I think it's much more likely that DQ hires somebody like a Clay Kubiak in San Francisco, who is an OC but not a play caller, who has that experience, or a Mike LaFleur, rather than taking that risk. And I think Jaden, you know, I know I respect that he has different desires, but he's still a second-year quarterback going on his third year. He has time to learn and grow, and the best quarterbacks have had multiple offensive coordinators. So it's just something he's going to have to deal with as a quarterback in this league.
So it could definitely happen. Thanks for the call, Usman. I don't disagree with anything you just said, by the way. It could definitely happen that they go outside the building non-Blau, and it isn't McDaniel. But I will say that would now surprise me. Like, I think that...
Do you feel like Blau has the inside track, if there is such a thing?
I do, yeah. What I said in the first segment was, if I had to bet right now, I would bet on him getting the job. But if you told me, like, who would I hire? I think I would have McDaniel 1, Blau 2. But I would be surprised if it's someone external that isn't Mike McDaniel. I guess that's my point.
Okay.
I think when they originally had this process and the names came out, and I heard Brian Daboll, someone they're going to, you know, make a call to, and there's some other names, and I was thinking, all right, they're casting a pretty wide net. And you've seen them interview multiple options, tight ends coach in Dallas, wide receivers coach in Arizona. They're doing their due diligence. They are talking to people. But it feels to me like the top choices, or the most likely choices, maybe is a better way to put it, are Blau and McDaniel. And then underneath of that, if something were to go sideways and get squirrely with one of those, there are other guys. But again, this is a fluid situation, and I'm speculating, informed speculation, but I don't know that they really know how this is going to end just yet. So it's impossible to really predict this at this moment.
Right.
Let's go to Russell in Graysonville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Russell? How are you?
Hey, afternoon, guys. How are you guys today?
Great, brother.
Very
Thank
well.
You.
We're hanging out at Chantilly's Pupatello location. We're eating pizza. We're feeling good.
Hey, man, I got to agree with both of you. You know, Mike McDaniels would be the home run with his, you know, his style of offense, the spreads, the motions, the run-heavy offense, you know, with Jaden under center, definitely. David Blau, I mean, obviously with Quinn, there's no doubt. Third year, you know, you've already outed your OC, your DC. His head's on the chopping block, so to speak. And I'm really just wondering, I mean, nothing against Blau as, you know, a quarterback's coach and so forth, ex-quarterback himself, but I look at the relationship that Jaden had with Mike Denbrock at LSU. And I know he's at Notre Dame right now, but, you know, just because of the growth, more as a person. We know the intangibles and the God-given talent Jaden possesses. What could that be an option? I'm sure they're going to scratch every surface possible. And again, DQ's got to get it right, or that's definitely going to, you know, tie that noose a little tighter around his neck to get him out. Yeah, they got to get it right, man. They got
to
get it right.
They don't have a choice. Thanks, well, yeah, I mean, you appreciate don't get you. To hire three coordinators generally.
Yeah.
So it's got to be right this time. He admitted by moving on from Cliff that was the wrong choice.
Well, the way you could get to three is if this – hear me out. McDaniel comes. Everybody gets what they want, which is Dan Quinn gets another year in addition. This offense hums. It flies. It's awesome. McDaniel gets another job as a head coach or something else, and you go – not my fault. We were great this year. Then you get to hire a third. But generally, the point is, you don't get to say, we're doing a whole new paradigm. You don't get to pick the second and third paradigm most of the time.
I don't have any interest in doing the let's go to college to find somebody that's tight with Jaden thing. By the way, it would make no sense to me. If I'm going to run a college-ish offense that Jaden has run before, why wouldn't I have kept Cliff Kingsbury?
Yep.
I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. They moved on from Cliff. Cliff didn't walk out the door on his own accord. I mean, there was some of that, I guess, if they're going to call it mutual. But what do we know? We know that they didn't like the way they operated because there weren't enough traditional NFL staples in the offense. They're going to sign up to do more of the LSU thing? I don't think that's the direction they're trying to go here at all. That doesn't make sense to me. If you're doing that, then Cliff Kingsbury should just still be here.
Then you keep some continuity there for a guy that made some chicken salad this year.
Yeah, you would just say, oh, you were the number 12 offense in yards per play with a bunch of injuries and backup quarterbacks, and the quarterback really likes you, and you got to the NFC Championship game with an elite offense last year. We'll give you another shot at this thing. But they want a different look. They want a different feel. Let's go to Ben in Virginia on Grant and Danny. You can call us at 800-636-1067. We're live in Chantilly at Pupitella Pizza until 6:30. What's up, Ben? How are you?
Hey, Grant, Danny. Hope you guys are getting some good food today. I'm jealous.
We are indeed, sir.
That's excellent. I got to try that place one day. Honestly, the brilliance of the coordinator that they have on staff here, Blau, is understated. I mean, the guy doesn't, as you keep saying, Grant, he doesn't even have an offense yet. So it would be a brilliant hire. You know what I mean? To go with a guy who doesn't have any offense. He's played under a lot of guys. But do we really want to hire a guy for that position that literally has to come up with a system before the season to work with our top quarterback? I mean, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but honestly, are we seriously considering that? A guy has no offense at all? He has to make it up?
Yeah, the point stands. Now, here's what would happen. I'm realistic, and I appreciate the phone call. It's a good one.
Okay.
We're kind of, as I said, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. It's not as if he hasn't thought about what plays he might want to run or what he might want to call. You're always doing this sort of stuff. You're coming, even you know, before you try stand-up for the first time, you're coming up with material.
Yeah.
Right? You're not just going up there going, okay, I got to do it the night of. You're basically going through that process now, and as part of the interview process, I guarantee you, if he's asked the question, what are you doing here? How are you doing it? What do you want to run? We'll feature this bootleg look that I got from Ben Johnson. We'll feature this zone, outside zone that I got from Kyle Shanahan. We'll feature this counter to the counter that I got from Cliff Kingsbury, etc. He's already thought of a lot of this stuff, but when we see it on Evan offense yet, we have literally never seen that guy call a play, install a game plan, make an adjustment, do anything. It's not his fault he hasn't done that. He was playing in the league an hour and a half ago.
Right.
But there's an unknown there, and I think that's where the risk is. Is that fair?
Yes. I don't view it as he doesn't have an offense. I view it as he has three offenses or whatever. I think he's going to create a scheme out of multiple offenses that he has run as a quarterback and been a part of as a coach. Like, to me, that's not a weakness. That is a strength, honestly, that he does not have a set scheme at this point. I actually feel good about that. The weakness is he's never been a coordinator before.
Yeah.
The weakness is he's never been a play caller before. The weakness is he has never, frankly, like run a room before. Beyond, we see him on Hard Knocks now getting to be the quarterback's coach. He's sitting behind a desk with the, you know, PowerPoint behind him. He was going around the room asking the quarterbacks, what did you learn this year? But it's three or four guys in the room. It's Sam Hartman, Jaden Daniels, Marcus Mariota. Like, he has not stood in front of 53 guys. He has not stood in front of 30 members of an offense or whatever and led those meetings. Now, do I think that based on what I've heard about his acumen, he could do that? Sure, but it is risky. Anytime you hire someone that's never done anything. When CK hired you to do shows, coming over as a stand-up comedian, that was probably risky. When he brought me in at 21 years old and said, you're going to be a beat reporter, that was probably risky. Like, yeah, if you're not just doing something safe, and going, this guy's been a beat reporter for 9 years covering this team. Okay, but You're never going to find new blood. You're never going to find someone who does it different and better. And,
yeah. The difference is you and I weren't doing afternoon drive the first hour.
Well, that's a very good point. I mean, the analogy, I guess, would be, you know, we would have been hired to run the station or something.
Yeah.
But you're putting your career in David Blau's hands. You really are. And that's why the risk is one that I think Dan Quinn, like, that's what makes it hard for me to see it happening. But it's multifaceted. If Mike McDaniel called them today and said, I will take the job, would they offer it to him and hire him? Probably. That's not the world they're living in.
No.
They're living in a world where, hey, man, I got to see what's going on with these head coaching jobs. Let's talk in a week. Hey, man, I got 5 other OC opportunities. Let's line up an interview. Like, how long do you want to wait? Do you want to get Bienemied where you are the last team that hasn't hired an OC? I don't think you could be that team. That normally does not work very well.
No. Yeah, there's – again, no matter what you do, I think a couple of callers – I think it was Elijah pointed this out, whether it was inadvertently or not. There is so much risk to every single maneuver, right? You can always find the if this part doesn't work or if you're waiting patiently, the next thing you know, the game of musical chair stops as there are more openings than we thought. Think about how much different this would be if there were the – 5 that we anticipated, right? You're already on to 8, and then there's other staffs that are going to get blown out, so there'll be other OC positions, DC positions, et cetera. You are in a feeding frenzy all of a sudden. And again, there are only so many guys that would, I think, excite a fan base that was bitterly crushed and disappointed, understandably so, after maybe the most disappointing year in the sport, right? So this is one of those, as the head coach, your 2 hand-picked guys are gone, plus somebody else that did a pretty good job in your offensive line coach, Bobby Johnson, getting the axe. So there's a lot of pressure on this one, and trusting it to maybe a wonderkid, but a neophyte that's never done this before, where you're going, hey, in a couple of years, he'll be great. Clock's ticking, man.
You may not get a couple of years. Well,
and neither might he. If you're gone, does that mean he's out of here too? And then the problem that you foresaw with a 1-year McDaniel is now the same problem, where you have to learn a 3rd offense in 3 years for Jaden Daniels.
Oh, my goodness. Zach's putting 3 more pizzas on the table over there.
Well, it's been almost 10 minutes since I eaten pizza.
I mean, so. But – Where you have to be dying, right? You have, other than when you've been speaking, you have been eating since you got here. There's no way you have more room.
See, it's
I'm not doing a bit.
No,
it's what's not, your level of hunger right now?
0.
Okay.
Like, I am not hungry.
How full are you 1 to 10 is a better way to ask it.
8. I shouldn't be eating.
Will you eat some of that?
Yes.
But why?
It's tasty. That's the thing.
Have you ever gotten sick when we've left here?
Yes.
That reminds me of when Ryan Zimmerman walks into the studio and says,
"No, it wasn't the studio.
Really? No, we were broadcasting, but it was at the Nats Youth Academy."
Yeah.
He's like, "Did you really gain 18 pounds in 4 days on vacation?" And you're like, "Yeah." He goes, "That's bleeping disgusting." Now,
didn't follow up. They just closed the door and left.
Closed the door.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, this is not disgusting. This is impressive.
It's disgusting. But, you could say it. But call it what it is.
Like, we are. The chances are closing in on over 50% that you'll get sick today.
No, it's not. That's not that high. No. It's on the board, but it's not 50-50. It's not a coin toss.
Not yet. Guy, it's only 3:18. It's been 77 minutes.
Yeah. That's actually a fair counter by you.
Like, we're here until 6:30. They're still going to do the gelato thing where they bring out all the ice cream.
All of them.
They're still going to do the fried dough thing with the chocolate on it.
And then the little pizza with the Nutella and the apples.
Like, I am a gross person, but when I get full, I just shut it down. You are like a dog. You know, you just don't turn anything down.
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, actually. That's the summary.
So, what is the percentage chance right now that you're going to get sick today?
2%.
That's it?
Yeah. What's going to happen is, once I leave, around 6:30, 6:45, it will feel like an anvil is in my digestive system. And I'm going to feel tired and irritated, and nothing is going to be okay.
Will you go home and just immediately lay down?
If I have my druthers, and I do not, okay. By the way.
You have no druthers.
I'll be on. I've never had a single druther, by the way. If I get one, I'll let you know.
What's a druther?
I've never had a unit of druther. What is it? I'd like to have one. Point of the dude's story is I will be immediately deputized. Hey, do this, do that. Make sure this kid's picked up. He's going to this sleepover. This kid's got this thing. Help change his diaper. Yada, yada, yada. Not a victim. Just what happens.
I see some type of salad-y thing that hasn't been touched. And then 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like 5 new pizzas on that.
No, the salad-y thing. It's there's lettuce around it, and I just avoid that. That's your burrata situation with a little bruschetta. I pummel that. I love that thing.
Sounds
so
like
I've eaten
3/4
of that. Yeah.
What's in the basket over there?
What's in the basket?
Something fried.
Fried zucchini.
Fried zucchini.
Yeah.
That's going to last a little while on that table, too, I bet.
That'll be the longest laster there.
Yeah.
Now, I had one, but it was adjacent to the fried mozzarella balls, which was adjacent to
those are gone.
The bruschetta.
By the way, the Brussels sprout thing they brought out?
That's
now, that's what I crushed.
Now, who turned you on to that? Who's your guy?
You texted me on that.
Yeah.
Danny, where did you see that?
Now, when you were subscribed to All Things Pupatella, you give them,
you
know, hey, phone
you got an
number,
email about that?
Oh, yeah. You get notified of seasonal menu opportunities.
Well, I love crispy Brussels. And people are like, oh, wow, Brussels sprouts. Look at you, Mr. Vegetable. No.
Not this way.
These are fried Brussels sprouts that are crispy with bacon in them and some syrup. Does that sound like a fun time?
Hot honey.
Well, but like a syrup.
Yeah, like a syrupy kind of situation.
Like a hot honey might be a part of that.
There's pepperoni in them on these two.
God, it's good.
Yep.
All right, next, let's get into the matchups this weekend in the NFL playoffs. So a 3-day extravaganza, doubleheader Saturday, tripleheader Sunday, and then Monday Night Football. Let's just put that in vial form and use a syringe to shoot that into this arm right here. Grant and Danny from Chantilly, come on out and hang out with us at Pupatella Pizza. We're here until 6:30 on The Fan.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Back live in Chantilly at Pupatella Pizza. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. We are steamrolling toward playoff football this weekend in the NFL. I want to get into these games, Danny. You pull up the point spreads and take a peek at these matchups. We've got 6 of them starting with a doubleheader tomorrow on Saturday afternoon. So we'll start with game number 1, 4:30 East time kick in Charlotte, a rare home game. In the playoffs for the Panthers, it's a 5-4 game. Despite the fact that the Rams this season were the superior team and one of the best in the conference, they've got to go on the road with these quirky rules. You win your division, you get a home playoff game. I said this yesterday. The Panthers have the 4th worst point differential in recent playoff history. You go back to the start of the 2000s. The previous 3 teams, though, that had a worse point differential than the Panthers – the 2010 Seahawks, the 2011 Broncos, the 2004 Rams, all 3 of them won their wild card round.
It is amazing.
Playoff game. So the Panthers are trying to make the streak 4 in a row with the heavy underdog at home, and the Rams are big-time favorites of 10.5 points.
Yeah, 10.5 point favorites on the road. I think this game will be closer than that. I really do. The Rams are the superior football team, but that's not what's an issue here. For whatever reason, a couple times you've seen them play with their food. There have been a few moments where even if a team they are dramatically better than, see Arizona in the final week of the season where they said, we are going for it. We are trying to play our guys to play well. They kind of didn't. Eventually pulled away because Arizona stinks. But this Rams team should be more dominant than they are. They have every ingredient that you would want in a football team. Excellent coach, great staff, veteran quarterback that can make every throw imaginable. Sometimes he does it without looking, mind you. Excellent receiving core, great ground game. Athletic tight ends, really good on defense with playmakers everywhere. It feels like this is a Super Bowl caliber team, and yet here they are in round one against Carolina. I think they're going to win the game, but it's going to be closer than people think. For Carolina, I would make the following tweak. Nobody cares what I think, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. I think you should still make the playoffs if you win your division, no matter how bad. I don't think you should host a playoff game, though. If you are an under 500 team, if you are, when they play 18 games, 8-8, 9-9, whatever the record ends up being, you should just be in seed, right? So you should be the 7 seed. You should go on the road. I don't think it should give you the automatic privilege of hosting a team that's been superior to you from start to finish.
I want to double-click on this, and we can talk about it later in the show, because I've got some thoughts on this, too. I think it is hard to make a change, because you can't just say, well, if you have the better record, then you get to play the home game necessarily, because you might have a one-game better record in a much easier division. But there are some things you probably could do in terms of, as you said, which side of 500 you're on. But let's come back to that. This game, by the way, on Fox, it's Joe Davis and Greg Olsen on the call. So the former Panthers legend back in Charlotte to call the game with the Rams at the Panthers. For the Rams, they just have not played with the same dominance that was expected.
Why haven't they?
Well,
why?
I think they had some O-line issues, number one, and they haven't been completely healthy, but they lost as 10-point favorites to Carolina once this year. They lost as 7-point favorites to the Falcons. They lost with a 19-point second-half lead against the Eagles. They lost a 30-14 fourth-quarter lead against Seattle. They didn't play great, I didn't think, in the first three quarters against the Cardinals.
No, they did not.
In Week 18. I just think that talent will overcome. Matt Stafford may very well win the MVP award. Arguably the statistical best quarterback in the NFL this season. He's got Hall of Fame receivers on either side of him, Davante Adams and Puka Nacua, and their run game's really, really good with Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, Ronnie Rivers. They're deep. So I like them just to be, out-talent the Panthers. But I do like Carolina in the points. At home, in the playoffs, catching that many? Rare. I'm with you. I will say that game finishes as a single-digit point spread, but they're not going to beat the Rams twice in one season. I just don't see it. Game number two, Saturday night. This one's going to be a blast. The Green Bay Packers, a 7 seed, on the road to take on the 2 seed Chicago Bears. They're playing for the third time in 5 weeks of football. Jordan Love is back for Green Bay. Chicago rounding into their health as well. Ben Johnson's first year as a head coach, an 11-win Chicago team hosting a playoff game. Soldier Field's going to be lit. 8 o'clock East time for this football game.
The angst in Chicago. Now, the excitement, obviously. This is the first good team they've had in a while. Caleb Williams sort of, kind of looks like he's on his way to being the real deal. Has certainly shown moments this year. Ben Johnson, everybody's kind of, set this, kind of taking the league by storm. They're exciting. Green Bay's still the bully. Green Bay's still the team that has done that to you so many times. This loss would be that much more painful and agonizing because it's them. It would be so much more painful and agonizing because Green Bay lost 4 straight games down the stretch and didn't look very good doing it. Their last win was against Chicago by a touchdown when Caleb Williams threw a pick in the end zone kind of to end it. They have lost 4 straight and not looked particularly good while doing it, talking about Green Bay. It would be the ultimate gut punch for Chicago and Chicago fans if they lose this one to Green Bay. You lose in the first round of the postseason, not a lot of shame in that. I mean, that happens. It's a pretty deep NFC, but it's because it's them. It's the rivalry. It's a group that, has already gotten better than them once this year. It would be really, really upsetting, I think, to Chicago and this kind of, it would take a lot of the air out of the balloon in terms of their build.
I'm waiting to hear about the health of Zach Tom, the right tackle. 4th round pick a few years ago, is coming to his own as one of the really excellent right tackles in the league for Green Bay. But getting Jordan Love back on the field, Josh Jacobs ready to go, closer to 100%. This will be the best version of the Packers we've seen in a few weeks. The Bears at home have been tough customers, though. I like this game to be a ground and pound, physical run first game for both operations. By the way, this is the Amazon Prime telecast. So this is Al Michaels, we found out yesterday, is going to be coming back next year.
Here we go again.
On Amazon Prime. And it'll be Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. I believe Kirk's dog is working the sideline.
Here we go.
Kaylee Hartung normally does, but what's his dog's name now? Peter?
Ben? Peter? Ben,
one of his dogs.
Ben Peters? I don't know.
He'll go down there and he'll
Peter Benson?
During the telecast or something, which is a shame because I actually think Kaylee Hartung's really, really good. They should just keep her on the sideline.
I prefer her over the dog.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Packers-Bears, 1.5-point spread. Green Bay is favored. Who do you like?
I don't have a great feel on this one because these two teams played this way, kind of throughout, but it just doesn't feel like the Bears are ready. Like, they've gotten away with a couple of games. All they've done is have a really good resume and look really good doing it several different times over. They've gone on the road. They've been at home. They've played really good football. This just sort of feels like they're not quite ready to do what Washington did last year and go on that magical run to an NFC title game with every break going their way. This feels like the bully, although weakened, still bullies. I got Green Bay by a field goal.
I'm taking the Bears. I don't like what the Packers did in Week 18 necessarily.
I don't like what they did the final 5 weeks of the season.
Well, I don't mean the four straight losses. I'm saying they completely took that final week off to kind of rest up and get healthy, which you can understand the logic. But when you lose by 13 and you lay an egg and you score 3 points in the final week of the season, there's just zero momentum going into the playoffs.
There's none.
I'm never going to be a fan of that. So they've given up 41 to the Ravens the last time they tried and got blown out, and Derrick Henry ran all over them.
All fair.
And then they scored three the next week. And my thing on this matchup is I just think the Bears will do whatever they want on the ground. I don't know exactly how Derrick Henry and Baltimore schemed them up to absolutely decimate them the way that they did, but there's not a better run designer right now than Ben Johnson. I think he's going to get into the lab on that, figure out what the Packers had problems with, and get after them a little bit. I think they'll be able to run the ball. It's going to be a close game, but I'll say, 27-24, 27-23, something like that, Chicago at home, over the top. I don't buy playoff experience as a big deal. I do still think home field advantage in the NFL is maybe not massive, but significant. Like, if you're asking me, is playoff experience on a 1 to 10 scale, a 7 or something, I'm saying no. I think it's like a 2 or a 3. I think home field advantage is still like a 6.
I think that's fair. I mean, again, for me, the thing that I worry about is this is a tortured fan base, right? The instant, the first complete pass from Jordan Love over the middle for 12 yards for a first down, I could see that collective gasp and everybody sits back on their hands waiting for the next bad thing to happen.
Nobody came back in the fourth quarter more than them this year.
Yeah, they did.
Nobody had more game-winning drives this year than Caleb Williams. I kind of think the fan base is the cardiac Bears thing. I think they're like –
they've caught on to it.
Got them right where we want them.
You might be right.
We're down 6 going into the playoffs. Hey, remember when we played Green Bay a few weeks ago? We were down 10 at the 2-minute warning, scored, got an onside kick,
came back,
scored again, and then beat them in overtime on a long ball.
That happened.
A crazy year. Sunday, let's start with the first of the three games, Bills-Jaguars. This is a Buffalo team that everybody thought was going to be the team to beat this year in the AFC as the one seed. They end up being a 6 seed. This is the worst Bills defense under Sean McDermott, maybe, of this era of Josh Allen playoff teams. This is the worst run defense in the NFL. So expect Liam Cohen to take advantage of that with Travis Etienne in his run game. Trevor Lawrence is playing the best football of his career. Got a home playoff game for Jacksonville as a 3 seed here. They come in as an offensive juggernaut. They haven't just been beating teams. They've been destroying teams. In terms of point differential over the last 5 weeks, basically nobody
best team in the league
close to Jacksonville. They have absolutely dominated down the stretch of this season. I'm pre-worried about the narrative if and when the Bills lose, because everyone's just going to make this a referendum on Josh Allen when the fact is this is by far the most flawed Bills team. But here's what you're going to hear. I'll tell you in advance. No Mahomes, no Burrow, no Lamar, and Josh Allen still couldn't do it. Josh Allen's playoff numbers are damn good. Like, they do not match this idea that he has come up small in the playoffs. You know where he ranks all time among quarterbacks in the playoffs? First in yards per game, first in interception percentage, third in touchdowns per game, third in quarterback rating, and fourth in completion percentage.
That seems good.
Yet everybody likes to scream about how terrible he's been in the playoffs, which isn't the case. But I don't think the Bills are good enough to win a Super Bowl.
I don't either. They were my preseason pick to win the Super Bowl for the first time in their history. I just don't see it with them. They don't look right to me. It's basically, Josh, we're sorry. Could you fix it on offense and on defense too somehow? Could you just make us okay? And he's good enough to do that. There are weeks where it's Josh Allen versus the other team, and that's good enough. I don't know you can do that in the postseason just yet. He needs a little bit more help, and they have been able to give it to him. I like Jacksonville in that one.
I'm going to take the Bills. We're on different sides again. I think that Jacksonville should win. Like, if you did a blind ballot for me, the 6-seed Buffalo's resume, the 3-seed Jacksonville's resume, how these teams finish the year, the outcome of their games, I would look at that without knowing who's who, and I would go, oh, this team's going to win, and that would be Jacksonville. By the way, they have not lost since week 10 of this season. They have scored 41, 34, 48, 36, 35 points. during that stretch dating back to November 16th.
And that loss to Houston, by the way, they had them dead to rights in that game.
They did.
They allowed a comeback. They're responsible for that. But still, they were the better team for three quarters.
They haven't played a bad game since that London game, which you could kind of dismiss because it's overseas,
yep.
Where Matt Stafford threw five touchdowns and they lost 35-7 to the Rams. That was before their bye week.
That was the low point where I wrote them off. And I was saying that's not fair. That was wrong, obviously. I think whatever it was, they lost 3 out of 5 or 3 out of 6, something like that.
They went 9-1 after that.
Yeah, I go, okay, that's Jacksonville. That was an adorable start. That's cute. Dude, they are the real deal. People know about their file.
Kind of a dumb prediction, but I'm just rolling with
it's
the
not,
better.
That's not dumb at all.
Well, I'm going with the better quarterback, yeah. You know, or the guy that is kind of due here. I think Allen has played well in the playoffs, puts his team on his back. If their defense gives him no chance, there's not much he's going to be able to do. But I'm looking at like a 30-27. Maybe like a 31-30 kind of game.
If it gets up there, give me the Bills. But this to me is a ground game explosion for Jacksonville, right? Because I don't think Buffalo could stop it. I think this is Etienne goes off. I think we see some Tootin and kind of all the rest. And I think this is a kind of a 26-16. We look up at the end of the day, it's a 38-minute time of possession thing for Jacksonville.
All right, we got about halfway through. Those are the first three of six games this weekend. We'll pick up with the second of three on Sunday, the 49ers and the Eagles, when we return ahead of our double play. 4 o'clock in 20 minutes, we're giving away Caps tickets ahead of the Beltway Blitz. It's Grant and Danny. We're out here in Chantilly at Pupatella Pizza, where we're going to be until 6:30 right here on The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to G&D on The Fan. We're at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly, going through the NFL playoff slate this weekend. Got to Sunday's middle game. This is actually maybe the tightest game on the slate and a game that I think is the hardest to predict, and that is the 49ers at the Eagles, just because you don't know who Philly really is. You know, I go back and forth on Jalen Hurts constantly. I don't think Jalen Hurts had a good season. I think he would probably acknowledge that to some extent. He has held them back a bunch offensively. He's just a limited thrower of the football, and yet he's one of the great winners in the league. When it comes to crunch time, when it comes to picking up the first down with your legs, making the big-time throw, especially deep balls dropped into the bucket, outside the numbers, he can do it, and he does over and over again. He's one of the great kind of prime-time, big-moment performers in the league. So in the same way that I find him so hard to talk about, the Eagles are very, very similar. Probably want a new offensive coordinator. They probably want major changes to their offensive scheme. And yet, you could convince me right now they play in the Super Bowl or they get eliminated by the Niners, and to both of those I would say, yep, I see it.
Here is my selling point on them being one and done this year. Since their bye week, which is in week 9, against non-Las Vegas and non-Washington opponents, okay, down the stretch, 10, 16, 21, 15, 19, 13. That's your offense. This is not a good offense right now. I think you can get away with that when you're playing, Dallas. You're playing, I mentioned the Raiders, Washington a couple different times down the stretch, et cetera. But this offense is not hitting. Saquon Barkley's not the same as last year, whether that's defenses caught on, whether he was worn down. I have no idea what I don't know there. Hasn't been the same, hasn't been dynamic. It used to be they had one get-out-of-jail-free card a game where you just give it to him. You just make up a play in the dirt, and he takes it for 70 yards. That has not happened very often for them. The home runs aren't there. Thus, the deep threats haven't been there. The kind of yards after catch haven't been there. It has been a very plodding and methodical offense. I like San Francisco in this game. I think as long as San Francisco's not playing a Mike McDonald-led team or defense, yeah, they're going to put up some points and yards. I like them this week.
So what I love about Philly is their defense. I think they have a Super Bowl
really
level
good
defense.
It's really good.
They also have the dream scenario of like a coordinator in Vic Fangio who is both great and going nowhere. He has no interest to go anywhere. He's just like happy to just put his feet up in his office and draw up good defense. And they have great players because Howie Roseman is the best GM and the best player picker probably in all the league. As far as San Francisco goes, they won six of their final seven, but they got almost shut out by Seattle in a got-to-have-it, end-of-year, game-of-the-season kind of spot that made them look pretty weak. But people forget how much that offense was humming before that. 42, 48, 37 points in three games leading up to that Seattle debacle. So this is a really, really good Kyle Shanahan-led offense with Purdy healthy and rolling and a elite Super Bowl-level defense with Philly. I actually think the Eagles do win this game, but one of my favorite against the spread plays of the weekend, if you can get San Francisco at 4.5 points like I did, catching those plus 4.5, I do not trust the Eagles as far as I can throw them.
Yeah.
I know they're at home, but 4.5 is a big number against a good team like San Fran. If you win, it might be a field goal game. It's actually one of my favorite plays of the postseason first round to get 49ers and points, you know, on the books wherever you can. All right, let's go to Sunday Night Football. This is the Chargers and the Patriots on NBC. This is a Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth telecast. The Chargers are a 7 seed. The Patriots are a 2 seed. For L.A., they are the least talked about good team in the league.
Yep.
Now, they did stub their toe down the stretch, losing to the Texans 20-16 in a game they tried to win. And then they did the Packers thing, where they completely shut it down, rested everybody, didn't try to win in Week 18, and only scored 3 points. So you can kind of dismiss that Week 18 January 4th game. Otherwise, they ended up winning, you know, 4 of their final 5 and only lost twice after October 19th this season. Justin Herbert playing at an MVP-caliber level. Their biggest problem is their offensive line and the fact that they can't protect Justin Herbert. The Patriots, one weakness on defense, they're not very good at rushing the quarterback. So the things where you take advantage of the Chargers where they worry, New England's not very good at those. This is actually a decent little matchup for L.A., I think.
I would tend to agree. And it seemed they weren't terribly concerned. I actually don't know all the tie-breaking permutations, to be honest with you. Had they won or whatever, could they have finished in the 6th spot or the 5th spot? Or I don't know. But I do know they didn't care about that. They were just fine and dandy going on the road and playing the 2 seed, the New England Patriots. They thought that was just A-OK by them. Getting healthy, I think, was kind of their priority, as they have been banged up as anybody, without all their tackles and a million other guys have been hurt for them. So this is two of the best head coaches in the sport, in my view. Guys that are strong-willed.
Harbaugh and Vrabel.
Who do their thing their way at their time. So that, of course, is no advantage there for either team, I don't think. They'll both be prepped and ready to rock and roll.
Also, your potential MVP, Drake May, is a huge storyline here. Had a breakout, monster, incredible sophomore season, one of the best we've ever seen in year two. And now he's at home in a playoff game for his chance at his first ever postseason victory for the New England Patriots. How does he perform against a really good defense? This Jesse Minter defense, who could be an NFL head coach, coming up in this cycle, this offseason. He's already lining up interviews. The D coordinator of the Chargers, who's sharp as a tack. Very curious to see how that matchup goes for New England. I will say, I find that stat that everyone throws out about the Patriots' strength of schedule to be a little bit misleading. They had one win against a winning team this season, and Lord knows everybody talks about that. There were 5 of their other wins where if they lose that game, that team would have been over 500. That's always a weird part of it to me.
Right.
Like, so if you lose, I'm the reason 5 other times we didn't have those games, but I don't get credit for that. How much different would we view this if they had 6 wins against teams that were over 500? You see what I'm saying?
Of course they do.
Because they were in games where they didn't play New England. So I think that's kind of interesting. The other thing I'll point out, the Chargers this year, I believe the number was, played eight games against teams that made the playoffs, and the Patriots played 4. So I think L.A. is much more battle-tested. What is the line in this game right now? Home in New England, the favorites in this football game by, what, 3.5?
Patriots still going to hook.
I kind of like the Chargers and points in this game. I think New England wins, but, again, anything more than a field goal, I'm probably rolling with a team like L.A.
So I have a I'm terrible at this, as we all know, in terms of picking these things and wagering on sports. That's why the towers are really tall there in Vegas. But I feel like this is a Chargers upset in the wings. I really do. And it's mostly because of what you just said. It's not the Patriots' fault they played who they played. They didn't
like the Chargers' money line?
Yeah, they didn't basically make the schedule up and go, we're gonna do a cupcake like we're some impoverished football school. This, you know, the schedule's the schedule. But I don't think they're as battle-tested as this Chargers team that has been through hell.
I think both things can be true. They're not battle-tested because of their schedule, and they're also really good.
They're good.
Like, I think they dominated a lot of the bad teams.
They did.
And they're probably better than people think based on who they played. By the way, the Commanders last year were this team.
Yes.
They went into the playoffs. They'd beaten nobody. They had one win against a team over 500, and that was a game where they actually trailed by 2 touchdowns when Hurts got hurt, or else they would have 0 wins against teams over 500. And then they went to Tampa and beat the Bucs, and then they went to Detroit and beat the Lions and got to the title game in the NFC. So, you know, you still can be good even with a bad schedule.
Yes, indeed.
Finally, Texans Steelers in Pittsburgh. This is your 5-4 matchup. This is Monday Night Football. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, 8 East time on Monday. I like the under in this game. I think it'll be super low scoring. I'm looking at like a 20-13 kind of game. I just don't know how Pittsburgh moves the ball or scores much on the Texans. I love this Houston defense. Give me the Texans to win. Give me the Texans to cover this football game as well.
Yeah, I pulled the over-under up. It's easily the lowest of the weekend.
Where is
it? It's 38.5. I mean, that's
really low.
Easily the lowest under.
I might still go under that, honestly.
Yeah, they're begging you to. I mean, they're basically saying, come on, we know points are going to be scored. This has rock fight written all over it, these two teams. It's not as if – and Houston has been awesome, obviously, since they started off kind of mediocre. But it ain't because of their offense. The defense makes that thing go. And the offense is basically asked to be a passenger. Just don't mess us up too much. C.J. Stroud, make a couple plays a game. Nico Collins, do your thing. Hand it off, don't turn it over. The defense will take care of it, and I feel like they will in this first round.
While we were talking about these games, they just put 2 giant bowls of the crispy bacon, or is it pepperoni?
Pepperoni.
Oh, boy. Brussels sprouts, pepperoni, and a little hot honey. That'll be good for the throat. I'll talk myself into that.
You'll do that.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Beltway Blitz comes your way next. We're giving away Caps tickets ahead of the Blitz. Remember, we've got the press conference. Wizards institution Trae Young coming up at 6, 2 hours from now on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.